And in our continuing effort to explore and celebrate the creative arts in all forms, here is a wonderful story of how important the arts are for life, for health, and for social change. And this story revolves around an artist named Keetra Oberlander and her Art of Possibility Studios. Keetra joins us live on the line and from California this morning. Keetra, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Bonnie.
Hey, thanks so much for getting up so early this morning.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
Are you an early bird or late night? No.
No.
Oh, wow. Well, you're an artist. You can't be, right?
I tend to kind of peek out midday.
Well, listen, Keetra, tell our listeners a little bit of your backstory, first of all. You experienced a loss of sight how many years ago?
Oh, you know, it probably started about 10 years ago. I'm 46 now, and in my late 30s, I started having vision problems. Images were increasingly blurry. I found myself enlarging the fonts on the computer and changing all the colors so that I could pull higher contrast. As it turned out, by 40, I was blind. I should clarify that blindness affects about 1.3 million Americans, and of those who are blind, 90% can see something. Only 10% are what you'd consider totally blind, like when your eyes are closed. The rest of us have, you know, an ability to maybe see shapes, or some people can pull color patterns or movement. In my case, I have something called cone dystrophy. So the brighter the light, the worse I see, and I'm also colorblind as a part of that cone dystrophy, and I've lost any ability to get a sharp focus. So the world is like a glamour shots for me. Everybody looks 25 and flawless.
Oh, I love that. Oh, what was the cause of this?
It's a genetic condition that's kind of rare and does run in my family. I have a sister who also has the same medical condition, but she doesn't have the acuity problems I have. So as long as it's dark enough, she's still able to see all right, read, drive, that sort of thing. So she wears welding glasses.
Hmm.
When she's out there.
And what do you wear?
I have some custom tinted sunglasses that are the darkness of welding glasses for outside, which reduces the natural light to under 4% of what's actually there. And I have indoor sunglasses as well, which are pretty much just off the rack glasses, fashion sunglasses that'll knock the light down for me, which helps me get my vision up to around maybe 2400, 2600 for people who care about the numbers.
But you are a painter as well.
I picked up a paintbrush after I had lost my sight. I was at home and sitting out the economic problems of the early 2000s and decided to take some adult education classes and signed up for painting because I had always liked art and been a collector, but I had never tried to make any of my own art. So I signed up for a painting class and absolutely loved it. But then a miracle occurred, and that's that people liked my paintings.
Mm.
You know, I didn't know. They could have been horrible for all I know.
So but how do you, you know, overcome your vision, challenges and make paintings?
I work very close to the canvas. I label my paint tubes like with a giant marker so I know what colors they are, and I work entirely off color theory. The rules of composition apply to me like they do every other artist, so I can either choose to respect them or break them, depending on what I'm trying to communicate in a piece. And frankly, I just work at it like you would any other blank canvas. You just start out by doing, and you let it go, and you see where it leads, and then you love it, and then you hate it, and then you go ahead and finish it, and then you don't look at it for a couple of months, and then it's an okay painting.
But so you can see some of it.
Right. I can see. I generally work 4 to 5 inches from the canvas, and if I get more than a couple feet away, I can't really see it. So I have to work close and then sort of move my head and face around the canvas. I generally work in a reasonable to carry format, like a 16 by 20 or 18 by 24.
Mm. How interesting. I mean, here you are, experiencing this challenge visually, and yet that's when you were prompted to pick up a paintbrush.
Yeah, I had been a creator for my income for my career. I had worked as a writer and editor. And as I lost my sight, it was intensely personal. I knew it was my next big story, you know, in terms of my life's narrative, and I didn't want to tell it. I knew I wasn't through it. I knew I didn't have any perspective on the frustration and the loss and all the emotional attachment that one suffers when you have a disability. And I just thought, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to write about this. And so I thought about painting, because ultimately I'm a communicator, and I thought by painting what I see, I could connect with people because they're interested. People are very interested in what I see or what I don't see, how it works and how I do things with a largely, you know, tactile sense to them. And so I just decided to paint to see if I could replicate what my vision is, and wound up making art instead.
How do you mean that?
Well, my goal was really communications. It was really about being able to capture what my life experience is. And I didn't think I was taking this little adult ed class as a way to, you know, become an artist, as a way to embark on the artist's life. But then that is exactly what has happened in my case.
What do you paint?
I paint close views generally, because that's the place at which I share a perspective with you. I do a lot of florals, and I like to do ordinary stuff that I'm able to grow in my own garden. I enjoy gardening quite a bit, mostly because I like to eat the food that comes out of it. So I do a lot of floral work. I also paint chocolates, because as a woman over 40, they say you should always strive to, you know, create an image of the divine. So I paint a lot of chocolates.
Wait a minute, you paint chocolates?
I paint images of chocolates on canvas.
That's fabulous.
They're really, really fun work.
But what do they end up looking like? We just see a painting of a chocolate?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Boxes of chocolates, yeah.
Boxes of chocolates, okay.
Yeah.
Ah. But so you have some things in front of you that are your guides that you paint, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Is that just something that comes out of your imagination?
I work off source material some, and I do abstract work that is much more emotive. But for the figure, you know, for representational work, I use source images, usually photography. I can't focus a camera, of course, but I have a really nice husband who will focus a camera for me. So I'll say, take a picture of this squash blossom, or, you know, get a shot of that image, and he'll take them. And we can enlarge them on the monitor on the computer, and then I can get a sense of where I'm going with the painting, and then start changing what I need to change to take it out of documentary photography and into the world of fine art composition.
So when did you have the sense that you were moving beyond this to create this, you know, online studio, basically, and to help others?
That was an evolutionary process. I was having some success with my work, but the logistics of being an artist, which is schlepping work here and there and carrying portfolios around, was killing me. You know, how are you going to go do the weekend tented festival? Take the bus, you know, pile all that stuff on there. It's not going to happen. So I have a physical disability in the physical world, and I thought, I got to get around the physics of this thing. So I looked at art licensing as an avenue, which is taking art images, created images, and translating them onto products for consumer goods. And I realized I started looking for the agency that represented disabled artists, and there wasn't one. And so I talked to some very successful art licensing agents who said, you have a great idea. You got to do it. And I said, I don't know how to do it. They said, you'll learn. You'll figure it out. Go do this. So I founded Art of Possibility Studios to represent my work and the work of other physically disabled artists in a for-profit entity, so that we could have the dignity of earning a living instead of, you know, depending on charity or depending on handouts as our livelihood.
But doesn't this go, in a sense, against what it means typically to be an artist? You know, it's not about the money. It's about just that you have to, you're compelled to create.
Well, I don't know that I agree with that. I think that money is the medium of exchange we use in our culture to indicate value. And I think it's absolutely okay to create work that people value. And And as someone who was a writer and editor for a lot of years, and as someone who listened to the news lead-in, you know, the Flaming Lips and Rick Ocasek have done okay making money. It doesn't make them less artistic.
Why is it always different for the visual artists, right?
Yeah, there's absolutely no difference. And as a matter of fact, I've modeled my business off of the recording industry back when they had a more sustainable model, which was in the 60s and 70s, and I based my business off of Motown, where you have individual performers who each have a very distinct sound, yet they all come together under the Motown umbrella to create something bigger than themselves, which was to level the playing field, in this case, for black performers. I'm similarly with Art of Possibility. My artist's art looks the way it looks. They create how they create. What I'm trying to do is create a path to profitability for what they're already doing anyway.
Mm.
And so just like Otis Redding and Diana Ross sound entirely different, but we're both Motown artists, Art of Possibility artists are going to be unique, and they're going to have their own genuine, emotional, creative process that is translated into a visual medium. And so so in terms of directing the artists, yes, it'd be great if I could say, hey, I need happy ducks with party hats on. But it isn't going to happen.
Well, Keetra, so describe how it works. You have product lines, right?
Right. What we do as a licensor is it's a rights management issue. So the artists who have joined Art of Possibility give me files, and then when a manufacturer needs something to enhance the sale of their product, they can license an image from our portfolio for that product for a given time frame.
For instance, so, didn't you just do a set of bookmarks?
Right. We actually have three licensed products that are on the market. We have a collection of Art of Possibility bookmarks that are really lovely and should be available in stores. We have them on our website, aopstudios.com. And we also have pendants that are little dominoes that have our art transferred onto the backs of them. You can get them on ribbons. They're darling. I don't have those on the website yet. I just got them Friday.
Hmm.
Have a box of them sitting on my desk. And we have a wall tapestry also that's licensed to a company in North Carolina that does weaving. So it's actually a woven product, not a printed product. I was amazed. You know, wow, that's amazing looking.
This sounds like, and for our artist listeners who are tuning in, just a way to market, you know, original art pieces.
It's an interesting way to take what you're doing anyway and get it out to a broader audience. I had talked briefly, I'm ultimately a communicator, and I know that I'm all about the connections. And so for me to look at a more populist or consumer level application for my art is absolutely consistent with my philosophy and with my lifestyle.
That doesn't deteriorate from the idea of it being pure art.
It actually doesn't. I think it actually helps the fine art. And I've always been kind of at my core a populist, and I feel like art shouldn't be something that someone else has to tell me why I should like it. I can. You know, I am empowered to like what I like and mm-hmm. to choose it because it's my choice. And I want to give others that opportunity as well. I think applied arts is valid and legitimate as a way to connect with people and as a way to communicate. And I'm really grateful for the opportunity to start the business.
Wow. And people can check it out online. It's aopstudios.com, the website, the Art of Possibility Studios, Art Beyond Limitation. And Keetra Oberlander is the founder. And you continue to create, right, Keetra? You're painting as well still?
I am painting as well still. I wish I had more time for it, but that's every artist's lament.
Oh, amen. And we're going to wrap it up with a bit of Diana Ross speaking of Motown, your commercial role model. And we say thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you. Good morning.
Keetra, thank you so much. Keetra Oberlander. And wrapping up here with Diana Ross's Supremes. And again, go online. Art of Possibility. It's aopstudios.com. And that's what we're all about in the morning. The art of possibilities.